I'm Sean from Voices of Defiance, a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America and all the ships at sea. Coming to you live from the Legends Studios via the interwebs, it's the Legends Entertainment News Stream. I'm the operator.
I'm Wing.
I'm Beef.
And I'm Neil.
That's right. Neil is joining us. Welcome in, Neil. How you doing, man?
Awesome to be on the cast, guys.
He's been doing great. He has been trashing me on the Avengers cast for half an hour already.
That's not going to come out till later. You can't tell them. Magic of editing.
Yeah, but it's called like giving them anticipation so they come back.
Oh. You guys are whispering a lot. Beef, what time is it?
News time. Try to whisper.
That was pretty good.
Oh, shit. Okay, comic book news. Pretty much a lot of the Marvel comics are going to go away for a little while. The last issues, Avengers 44, Fantastic Four, 645, which really is like the end of the Fantastic Four. They're going to go away for a while starting next month, or basically next week. It will be Secret Wars. All of the regularly scheduled comics for Marvel are pretty much going to be gone in lieu of Secret Wars titles. And, I mean, I'm talking like, you know, Spider-Man will be gone, X-Men will be gone, Avengers will be gone, just everything will just be gone. And it'll just build and build for like, I think the next 3 months, 3-4 months, that's going to be just all Secret Wars kind of stuff. Some of the storylines in Secret Wars actually sound kind of cool. They got the Civil War era Secret Wars. They've got Old Man Logan, which I loved Old Man Logan. That was so
Old
awesome.
Man Logan's was really good.
So good. For those of you like me who think that Peter Parker and Mary Jane should never split up, they got that storyline. They've got a bunch of storylines. It's going to be interesting to see what they do as far as like how they fix everything, so that I think in August it all comes back to normal and see where they start from there.
They're doing all this just to, again, keep Spider-Gwen alive. Trust me.
Yeah, Spider-Gwen ain't going anywhere. She is way too popular. She's like ridiculously popular now.
Spider-Gwen is awesome.
Spider-Gwen is pretty fucking awesome. And Agent May from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to get a one-shot comic. It's technically not part of the 616 that's about to be changed into whatever the hell it is it's going to change into. But she's going to get her own comic, I think, in the next 2 months.
Kind of cool. They said they're also going to give it to Bobby and a handful of other people.
Yep.
Sky and someone else, another female on the team.
Yeah. Which is awesome, considering that, you know, the show is doing well enough to, you know, be ready for the third season and everything. The fact they're all getting their own little one shots, that's actually really cool. Under the heading of why? Dark Knight 3.
Why? And it's the title, The Master Race.
Yes, because nothing could possibly go wrong with Frank Miller writing something about the Master Race at all. What could possibly be bad about
Dark Knight Return? Changed the face of comic book across the board in the 1980s.
Mm-hmm.
Dark Knight Strike Again should have never been published, but they paid $1 million to the man, so they did.
I still say he lost a bet.
Yeah.
I still say he lost a bet to somebody, and the bet was, you know, the one guy would have to eat like 3 ghost peppers in a row, and if Frank Miller lost, he would have to write the worst Batman story ever.
You know, I kind of agree with that. That was not really... That was actually pretty bad. I'm kind of mad that they put that into the... not the Ultimate Collection. How did they call that? The... you know, when they blow up the page and they sell the comic for $150. Great.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The kind of special edition-y kind of shit. Yeah.
Yes. I got a couple of those. They're amazing. And I didn't buy the Dark Knight because I was like, I'm not paying for Dark Knight Strike Again. That is not true. Now I'm looking at this one and I'm like, oh, you're just trying to make a buck.
Yeah.
You're just trying to make a buck at this point, because let's face it, Dark Knight Return is a Elseworld one-shot, really, really good comic. Everything that comes after, meh. Frank Miller, you want to give me good Batman? Finish All-Star. You never finish All-Star Batman and Robin, which I know people are not all happy about it. I loved it. Just give me the last two issue. 10 years later.
Please. 10 years later, exactly. Oh, speaking of 10 years later, on a slightly different note, one of the there was a book that came out called American Jesus, and it was basically based on kind of like the last battle between good and evil, Book of Revelation kind of stuff. And the first book that came out, Chosen, was really, really good, done by Mark Miller. Very, very good. And he said, okay, I'm going to start writing part two like in the next month or so. Okay, great. That was 7 years ago. Finally, last week in the last issue of, I think it was Jupiter's Circle, in the letters section, he said, okay, now I really am finally sitting down to write the second book. And the response letters were like, finally, you're doing this shit.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah.
That is impressive. But yeah, so. The new Dark Knight, whatever. It's a really, for me, you know what? Except if all the reviews across the board are like, this is the best thing since Dark Knight Return, mm-hmm. I'm not even going to bother. Because I was so excited about Dark Knight Strike Again, and then I read it, and I was like, oh, you cashed $1 million.
I still don't understand the whole Wonder Woman thing and all that.
The Dick Grissom thing?
No, all of it, no.
No, no, the Cat Girl thing?
But still, no. All of it, no.
No, so. No. I think they're trying to cash in because the Dark Knight has been rumored to influence Batman Superman a lot.
Yeah.
So before the movie comes out, they're like, we can make a buck. Maybe multiple buck.
Exactly. Neil, how do you feel about Bitch Planet?
Bitch Planet number 4 dropped yesterday. And guys, if you are not picking up this title from Image, you're doing yourself a disservice. I don't know if you're reading this, but Kelly Sue DeConnick from Captain Marvel and some other great titles out there is writing this. I think issue 4 that just came out was really late. I think about a month, maybe more. And she goes into it in the back of this one, just saying some of the scenes they had to throw out in this episode or this issue were they had to get right and they weren't going to rush it. Have any of you guys picked up Bitch Planet yet?
I've picked up the first two issues and I've really, really liked it so far. I just haven't picked up issue 3 or issue 4 yet.
Wing?
No, I'll be honest. I don't pick new book except if Up tells me, you should pick that up.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of a cross. And the standard pitch line is blaxploitation and femsploitation from the 60s and 70s, kind of mixed with Inglourious Basterds.
Okay. You just sell a book there.
Yeah. Okay. It's actually pretty decent. Yeah.
Yeah. No. And it's worth. And I mean, the pickup by the community that supports Kelly Sue in a lot of her works really got behind this to the point where people are getting an aspect of this, I don't want to give it away, tattooed. I mean, the internet is full of people with Bitch Planet tattoos out there after one, maybe two issues. It had that much of an impact on people.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, worth it.
That's impressive. Does it worth it as much as Convergence?
Here we go. So, Wing, you brought up, or Op, you brought up Secret Wars. Well, we're deep in Convergence, and the same thing's going on. All the different Elseworlds timelines have converged. You know, Zero Hour, Infinite Crisis, Earth One, Red Sun. They're all fighting it out, similar to what's going to happen on Secret Wars. Of course, Brainiac is somewhere behind all of this. Now, the good, you get to revisit and follow up stories on a lot of characters that you probably came to love over the last 20 years. And wanted to see more of, like Red Sun Universe, awesome. Mm-hmm. Infinite Crisis characters, like the proper arsenal. you know, like some of the proper Teen Titans characters, Cassandra Cain and a couple of different versions of Batgirl. Ooh. You get to revisit all of them, and it's awesome. The problem is the writing isn't consistent throughout all the tie-ins, and there are so many tie-ins. Aside from the normal conversions title, you're seeing about 12 new titles drop a week.
Holy shit.
A week. So yeah. To stay on top of this, you're going to go bankrupt.
Yeah.
We're talking about 60, 80 bucks a week just to keep up.
And that's the downside, because, like, for instance, with Secret Wars, and I usually tell people this when there's like a huge crossover, it's not going to kill you if you just want to get like the main title. And because with Secret Wars and the way Hickman usually does his stuff, it's like, okay, get this main stuff, but if you really like this character, you can get that book too. And if you like this character over there, you can get that book too. But the main thing, the main story, right there.
Yeah,
and
Convergence.
You can just stick with that. Yeah,
Convergence is dropping weekly. And if you follow Convergence, you're following the Earth One characters, Thomas Wayne, the alternate Green Lantern, and a few of the key characters from that timeline. But I think what's really adding to it is your ability to pick and choose from where you kind of want to go within the DC universe, which is pretty interesting, actually. Hmm. But check out the reviews. You know, go to your local comic shop, take a flip through the art, and if the art doesn't grab you, you know, there's plenty of places where you can read what happens online.
Go ahead.
Disco Nightwing. That's all I had to say.
Oh, hell no. Yeah.
In all honesty, out of any of the Convergence titles, and I haven't picked up very many of them, but the one I did have to pick up because the artwork was so phenomenal was the Wonder Woman article. The Wonder Woman copy was, it was so good. I mean, it was like back to the whole warrior woman kind of thing. It was really good. And the artwork was just a beautiful, beautiful thing to see. So, yeah.
Yeah, I've picked up Speed Force to follow up on the whole Speedster family kind of timeline. I've picked up Titans and, of course, the New Teen Titans with Disco Wing. And yeah, shout out to the Starling Tribune, picked up the Green Arrow title. So great to see Ollie not as a hipster with a proper goatee or Van Dyke.
Ollie with a goatee is always the best Ollie, I'm just saying.
And in gaming news, a trailer for Batman Arkham Knight has come out with Nightwing.
Yeah, with Nightwing. I'm happy that Nightwing is in the thing. I'm not sure I'm down with the AFCOL thing that they put on Nightwing, but okay. I mean, they're trying to do their thing, but they had it down so well in the last Arkham game that I'm like, okay, you needed to do something different. I guess I get it. And they're playing in the sandbox that I'm used to, which I kind of like, which is like you have the Oracle that's in a wheelchair and Nightwing's in blue and Robin is Tim Drake and all that. So that's, you know, that's my era of Batman when I was really, really into it and was buying every title. So I'm really happy to see that. The Arkham Knight character, I can't wait to see what's the twist in there because I really like it. I think they're having something interesting in there. So I'm hopeful. The last two games were really good, and this is the swan song of Rocksteady. Yes, Arkham Origin doesn't count, even if it was kind of fun, but it doesn't count in this trilogy. So I'm excited. This is a good thriller. I'm excited to see that they're going with the extended family and everything. So we'll see what they're doing. But thriller's good.
Nice. NBC is channeling Netflix business model with Aquarius. Aquarius is a miniseries based on the Charles Manson murders. And basically what they are doing is after the pilot episode comes out, they're going to release the entire series online and on video on demand.
I'm good with that.
So you can like just jam through the whole series in, you know, in a weekend or something like that. It's this is, I think, the first time that a major network has tried something like this.
So are you saying that they're learning?
No, it's probably just a knee-jerk reaction and all.
Yeah, probably just
this.
Knee-jerk reaction because learning, yeah, that's, no.
I hope, but be realistic.
Yeah.
Because I was impressed because Netflix actually, I don't know if that's in the news, but they released some actual numbers this week, which we'd never have. And when you're like, Daredevil gets 10% of all Netflix subscription, 10% of people that pay for Netflix to watch Daredevil, that's a lot of people.
That's a shit ton of people. That's more people than like House of Cards season 3.
That was like 8%?
Yeah, which is insane because it was House of Cards to put Netflix streaming on the map.
Yeah, but that just gives you an idea that, look, network, there is a market.
Mm-hmm.
People watch. And you know we're talking 8-10%. People are like, well, that's not much. Do you know how many people pay for Netflix? It's a lot of people. A
lot of people. That's a lot of money coming in. So yeah.
So I'm happy that, first of all, that they released some number and to see that the model works. Because let's face it, who wants to sit in front of their TV at the hours that the networks tell them? You're going to be sitting in front of your TV and you're going to watch
the
motherfucker.
Exactly. The overall model that way doesn't work anymore because
it's not,
more and more. Go ahead.
It's not even time-based anymore because you have a DVR. It's who wants to sit down and watch it weekly.
Exactly. It's going to be, I think Beef kind of hit the nail on the head as far as the word weekly is concerned. I think more and more networks are going to have to look at their shows based on a weekly model rather than a daily model.
The plus seven numbers you're talking about? Yeah,
yeah,
I agree.
Yeah, but also, who wants to, like, do you want to sit there and come back to Lost every week? It comes on Wednesday. You're going to watch it Thursday or whatever. You're going to fast forward through the commercials. But wouldn't you rather have the Orange is the New Black or the the Netflix version where you get 13 of them right away?
And you can
10 of
them.
Yeah, and you can just spend a weekend watching two brand new series and be like, well, that was fun. What's next?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, at least you have the option to do that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I agree, because some people still do the weekly thing because they don't have time anyway. I mean, I remember Catherine where she was like, oh, this is so great. You guys have time. I don't.
Yeah, but you can. I mean, at some point in time, you will find an extra episode, or if all of a sudden that one leaves you hanging, you can go an extra 5 or 10 minutes and go, okay, I'm going to stop this, and I know it's going to bring me right back to where I left off. Bye, Netflix.
Great.
Yep.
I love living in the future.
Yeah, future is cool. Speaking of awesomeness, though, Star Wars Rebels returns in June.
That's fast. I was not expecting
that. That is incredibly fast.
They want to pave the way for Force Awakens really good. Because the trailer for Star Wars Rebel, gave me more Vader with James Earl Jones. Please do.
And just to find out how Ahsoka is going to deal with who Vader is, that is something I want to see.
Agreed.
That is really something I want to see. That's going to be extremely good. And they're going to build up to that. Even the creators of the show basically said, yeah, that whole relationship is not over yet. So something's going
to
go down.
I want him to kill her. I want him to kill her.
I think he will. He won't do it yet. I think it'll be a while. But I think unfortunately, that's the direction they're going to have to go.
Well, that's the old story of Vader. He killed Jedi in between those two movies. So let's see him kill Jedis, for Christ's sake.
Yep. Frank Langella is going to return to next season on The Americans, which, y'all, Americans this season was goodness. Goodness. So much goodness was happening there with The Americans and the just...
I know my DVR flaked out. I will catch up, I promise. And then I will scream on the show.
Yeah, because... Wow. and a lot of nakedness with that young lady.
More?
Oh,
me with the Carrie Russell bomb.
Oh, so much more. So much more. So, yes. And a bunch of folks, and when I say a bunch of folks watch Bruce Jenner say he's a woman, we're talking like Walking Dead numbers of people watch this.
We kind of make fun of that last week, and let's be honest, if this is who he is, this is who he is. Okay.
Absolutely.
But God damn it, I never thought that many people would turn on to watch this.
I had a feeling that people would watch it only because, and I know it's a U.S. thing, but it was advertised so heavily that if they didn't make these numbers, I think it would have just shut the whole system down. They would have lost their damn minds because it was literally on, as far as an advertisement goes, for about 2 months building up to this. It was ridiculous how much of a push there was behind this. But to Wing's point, you know, if this is who he is, you know, that's fine, whatever. That's great. That's his life. That's, and he should be happy, and he deserves to be happy. Everybody deserves to be happy with who they are, and that is great. The one issue I do have is when he said this is not a publicity stunt.
You don't go on 2020.
Yeah, not for him. His life and his choices and stuff like that, that is all about him. Whatever he wants to do, God bless him. Have a great time. Live your life, blah, blah, blah. But let's look at who he is coming from over the last 10 years. A group of people that lives and breathes publicity stunt. Yeah. So for him to say this is not a publicity stunt to go on 2020 with Diane Sawyer and have a show on E about his transition.
Yeah.
That's kind of, you could have written an article in New York Times. You could have had, you could have written a book. You could have done anything else. Okay. As a matter of fact, Sean, who, you know, is going to be coming back to the cast. We're going to make him come back to the cast at some point. But he brought up a very good point. When the Wachowski brother went through his transition, he just said, I'm a woman. I want to be thought of as a woman. This is how I feel about my life. This is who I am. And nothing else.
Yeah, it did his thing. And again, that's who he is. And
exactly.
You know what? More power to him. Or yeah, her.
But he didn't go on TV. He didn't make a big fuss about it. He said, this is my life. Boom. Done. And that was it.
And the curious point I'm going to make, and once again, I'm not judging anything, but
right.
Do people watch because they are interested to know about the transition or to know about how somebody goes through this? Or is this just morbid curiosity?
All the yes. above.
Well, exactly.
And again, yes. I'm just asking the question. I don't know. But yeah. 20 million people watch that.
Well, I think part of it is the morbid curiosity. Part of it is genuine interest. Part of it is the fact that this is Bruce Jenner. And to Americans, Bruce Jenner, he was huge in the sports world. He was an Olympic decathlete. He was a hero for the late 70s into the early 80s. He was on the Wheaties box. He was the first major dude on the Wheaties box. He was the prototype.
Everybody, right, and I think that's why it's such a knee-jerk.
Yeah, so when everybody hears that this guy says, you know what, I think of myself as a woman, I won't be thought of as a woman, blah, 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 this is how I live my life, everybody's like, oh, okay, I did not expect that, let me find out more.
So
that's where that curiosity comes from. And again, God bless him. If he wants to do that with his life, that is great. No judgment there. The only issue I have is the publicity line. That's it. So, moving on, Through the Wormhole is back. So, Morgan Freeman is talking stuff about science-y goodness, which is awesome. If you want to get
the
your science
show
fixed.
Always ruins my brain, but I love it.
It's so good. It really is good. Now, H2. Apparently, there was a History Channel 2.
Here's
had
one
no
of my
idea.
Favorite channels.
No, seriously. No, it really was.
It was, and it was owned by A&E. Apparently, it has been now renamed as the Vice Channel. So not only is Vice going to have their news thing on HBO, they're going to have an entire channel, which is going to be interesting to see how they fill that void.
That's a lot of Vice.
That's a lot of Vice. That's a lot. That from a show that like came on like once every 6 months to having their own channel and being on a pay channel, that's kind of insane.
I wish them good luck.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how they pull this off. So,
and my concern is that the 24-hour news cycle is going to water down what Vice is.
Yeah, it is. Unfortunately, I think you're right.
Yeah.
Because Vice has, I mean, they go into like these in-depth news stories that no one else is talking about at all. Like nobody. And yet, if they have to do a full channel, they're going to have to make some sacrifices.
They might. It's not. I don't think it's going to be full news, is it? I mean, they're going to do other shit.
Well, they're going to do documentaries and stuff like that, yeah. Sure. But as far as like what they're known for, which is news, that's going to be, you know, an issue. Well,
somebody's throwing a bunch of fucking money at them.
This is true.
You want to talk about money? Fast and Furious going at $1.26 billion worldwide.
Yeah, and it is enjoying its last week at the top spot. It's
you
still...
think? You don't think it's going to beat Avengers next week?
No, I don't think it's going to beat Avengers next week, considering that Avengers is already at $250 million.
International, and it has not opened domestic yet.
Yeah.
That fucking hurts my head.
That's insane how many... It's like... If you weren't sure whether or not Age of Ultron was going to make $1 billion, here's the evidence that it is probably going to hit $1 billion.
It's going to hit $1 billion with DVD sales and everything by the end of it.
Oh, no. It's going to eat it $1 billion in the next 4 to 5 weeks. Because yeah, it's funny. Right now, they're like, oh, we're not sure exactly what the weekend's number is going to be. It's sold out
everywhere.
They know exactly how much money they're going to make by Sunday because... It's sold out. You cannot get that ticket. This is the hottest ticket in town right now. And, you know, I'm going to get into my on my soapbox for a second. This is impossible in the region of Montreal to get a 2D ticket version of this because it's not playing in 2D. You don't have the option to see it in 2D. So you know
that does kind of suck.
You don't even have the fucking option.
I don't have
the option. Like, sold out.
I have to drive an hour and a half out of town to get a 2D ticket.
That's not cool, dude.
In a freaking old theater that just does not support 3D. And if I'm in town,
that'd be kind of cool if you make a day of it, but
I'm not driving an hour and a half to see Age of Ultron.
That's not insane.
I'm going to pay $5 instead of paying $25 of gas. Just saying, this is simple economy.
You make a day of it. You just go get lunch or some, you know, whatever.
I can't get lunch in town, beef. You know we have restaurants
Never
in
mind.
Canada.
You know what? I'm sorry. God, you're an ass.
But my point is that, okay, yes, you make all that money and that is great. But if you corner me into buying an extra $5 ticket, I'm kind of mad about it. I'm just saying. I'm going to see the movie anyway and I have my ticket and I'm going to be there tomorrow. Yeah, sure. Still, it's going to be blurry for me, and that
sucks. I'm not honestly, dude. That is not cool. That really is. You should at least have the option of seeing it in 2D. Yeah. I mean, like for me, I'm not a huge fan of 3D unless it is like so immersive and awesome, like Avatar was. I mean, unless every leaf on every tree moves slightly differently, I don't need to see 3D.
Wreck-It Ralph was pretty cool.
Well,
Wreck-It Ralph, yeah.
And we talked about that. My problem is not even that I don't like 3D that much. Is that I have a crooked eye. 3D doesn't work on me. For me, 3D is blurry. And right now, I'm paying $19 a ticket to see a blurry movie.
Yeah, and that's not cool. That's not cool to not have that option. But also, as far as Fast and Furious is concerned, Fast and Furious 8 is going to be out April 2017.
Now, do you think they're going to film them back-to-back?
No,
I don't know. It is the most economical way to pull something like that off.
I mean, you think about it. What did they stick in Fast and Furious 7 with marketing and everything? 500 million?
No, somewhere around 325.
Okay, yeah, something perfect. Like that. So they've quadrupled their money or will by the time DVD sales are done easily. You film the next two back to back. It's even cheaper. And then you fucking double your bank up, or you fail miserably, but you still have a good portion of what you made off this one left.
Okay, I agree, but they wanted to do that with 6, and they decided not to. They wanted to do that with 7, and they decided not to. And those are two of their most profitable movie in the franchise at this point.
Those two weren't bigger than this, though. No way.
6 and 7? 7 is the biggest Furious movie ever.
That's what I'm saying. 5 and 6. because you said they want to do it with 5 and 6.
They wanted to do it in, with 6 and 7, and they decided against it. So at this point, I would say don't stray out of a formula that works. And, okay, this is the send 8 mail to nightwing@gunnageek.com, but they have no idea how Fast and Furious without Paul Walker is going to work. They have no idea.
No, you're totally right. You're right.
Yeah, that is true.
So, do you do it? Well, at $1.3 billion, you probably try it. But do you want to do the 2 movies in a row? Well, Marvel is ready to do it with Avengers, which is, let's face it, yes. Yes. With Avengers, yes. With Fast and the Furious 8, I would be more cautious, and I would be like, let's hope we do another $1 billion. Let's sink $250 million, $350 million with publicity and see what it does. But I would not do 8 and 9 in a row.
Okay. Well, since we've already talked about how much money Avengers has already made, Wing, go ahead and have your little freak out.
Well, they made $250 million.
Oh, for the Batgot, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh,
you haven't clicked
yeah.
on that, dude? Go on, click on that.
Come on, click on
that. It's the bat gut, dude. The bat gut is in full effect. I mean, he's got a ripped bat gut, but it is a bat gut hanging over the utility belt.
You call that bat gut? I call that bat abs.
Dude, anybody can look like they have abs under fucking form plastic bodysuit.
I'm sorry, but that Batman costume looks awesome. It looks like Batman for the first time since Adam West, for Christ's sake.
Oh, come on now, Adam West. No, stop it. Stop it. You're hurting me.
I mean, it looks like the comic.
It does. He does look like the comic. That is true.
The last time we had a Batman that looks like the comic, okay, he had the gut and everything, but Adam West did. And if you look in the 60s, what they did with the costume, that was the Bat costume. And now, after that, we went with the armor and nipple route for 25 years.
Well, this still seems to be armor, though.
It seems to be armor, but it... quote unquote looks like kind
of. It looks like it's a suit. Yeah.
Yeah. So I really like it. And everybody that was wondering if Ben Affleck could pull the cowl, oh, the man plays.
I still remember us completely flipping out when we first heard he was cast as Batman.
I think I might have been the one saying, okay, guys, just hold on. He was pretty
exactly.
good.
You were, I think you were the voice of reason
else.
That day.
Yeah,
you were the voice of reason that day, dude.
I was okay with Ben Affleck since the start, I think.
Oh, shit.
No,
up.
You were no, not. You no, were I just think because I remember we had to go on immediately.
Yeah, because there was
that news came out at that point.
That was great news. I agree.
It was great. But you were so pissed because all you kept talking about, and I did the same thing, admittedly.
You know, I'm going to go back to that. I'm gonna,
yeah, please.
I'm going to go
do,
back to that.
Because you were not happy, dude.
Because I remember I was skeptic, but in
you
my...
were unhappy.
In my... the way I remember it is I was skeptic, but I always was like, he went far since Daredevil, and I think there's something there, and he has the chin. And if we're just talking...
We all agreed on the chin. That's true.
And if we're talking about this picture... he has the chin.
Yeah, but I'm not saying he does. I have completely turned around and agree that he will be a good Batman. But that day, you and I both flipped out.
I'm going to re-listen to that.
Please
guess. I'm curious to see what I said that day. But no,
please
I mean,
proceed, Governor. Go right ahead.
I am in the Batfleck plan at this point. I'm even into the Jared Leto tattoo.
Yeah, let's talk about that too. What are your thoughts?
Well, they came out and said, yeah, forget that was just for fun that we released that. But if that was actually the Joker, except the disturbed tattoo on the forehead, I was good with it. I kind of liked
too.
It. I kind of liked it.
I didn't mind.
Yeah. And there was a lot of hate that came out from that. And I'm like, yeah, I still remember the hate from like Heath Ledger when everybody said, well, he can't play the Joker. He just got through doing Brokeback Mountain. There's no way he could play the Joker. Best fucking Joker ever.
This Joker, it looks brutal. He looks just like a young, fucked up, you know, Joker
he
nowadays.
Looks like a psychopath.
I don't know, with like a grill
person.
And a bunch of tats. And
what people tend to forget, it's not about what the character actually looks. It's about they get the... what the character is about. And when you look at this picture, yeah, they got what it's about really, yeah. really, really well. Again, the Joker didn't have a face for a couple of years, and we were okay yeah. with it. And that was weird as hell. There was flies flying around his face mm-hmm. because he was rotting in the panel. So when I saw it, I was like, okay, I was not down with the Disturbed tattoo on the forehead. I'll be honest, that one I was like, eh, a little bit on the nose. A little bit too much in your face.
Damaged. Sorry, damaged.
Damage. Okay, damage. Mm-hmm. But like the ha 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 on the chest.
That was awesome, dude. That was cool.
Yeah, not the big smiley face on his forearm. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yep. The Robin on the arm. I was like, did he kill a Robin? Did he get that one after get? And I got into like, when did he got those? Why did he got those? It was like after this adventure he got these, and after this adventure he got these, and the teeth. When everybody online went like, of course, Batman has not his teeth.
Dude, his shirt's off. You can see his teeth swing. We get it.
No, the fact that Batman probably knocked his teeth out a couple of times with these gauntlets full of metal. Come on. I kind of hope they keep the teeth. I'll be honest.
Teeth, everybody. Teeth. Teeth.
You know, I think the shot accomplished two things. One, everybody was talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like it or hate it, everybody was talking about the Joker. And, you know, we're still a year out, and there's a lot of big movies coming out. You guys have talked about this over and over. And suddenly they had all the buzz.
Mm-hmm.
But the other big thing is they have to take their own path with this Joker. I mean, you said it yourselves. We've had some great Jokers recently. We had an awesome Joker last time out. So how do you try to compete with that? Well, maybe you don't. Maybe you take it in a different direction. Younger, more crazy, more disturbed, tatted up to, you know, to the nines. I think it was a good call.
And, you know, Neil brings a great point. All of a sudden, everybody stopped talking about Star Wars. And everybody was talking about the Joker. And that's not a trailer. That was a picture.
Yeah, and the other thing is, and this goes back to what I had brought up previously, I know Wing loved the trailer and stuff like that, but one of the issues that I had was they brought it out too soon. Everybody was still on the Star Wars high. And then you bring out this other trailer that's kind of, it's all right, it's not bad. I mean, you know, you have the little Neil deGrasse Tyson voiceover and shit like that, which is awesome. But beyond that, it's like, okay, all right, nah. But it's not Star Wars. Oh my God, Star Wars was so awesome. Blah, blah, blah.
So much pictures of the suit.
You know, but if they had brought it out now, a week, 2 weeks after, then they would have caught the buzz.
Yeah.
Then a lot of people would have been talking about it. Yeah, I think it was the timing. I think the studio and Zach just wanted it out like to compete. And Wing, you brought up a very good point a couple of weeks ago. You had said that, you know, you're the winner because you get all this stuff at the same time. But the downside is the masses, the fans, the people that are out there that are going to buy these movies, they get online and they say one thing is really good and the other thing is really kind of meh.
Yeah, that's the thing with online. People cannot have shades of gray. It's like, oh, this thing is really good, so everything else is shit.
Right.
And that was the weekend of trailer. We got that awesome Fantastic Four one as well. Mm-hmm. We had the Terminator one that was great. Mm-hmm. That was too revealing. We talked about that, but it was kind of fun to watch. You know, that was the weekend of trailers.
Right.
So. Yeah, it's counter-programming. They're trying stuff at this point, but say whatever you want. The Batman Superman marketing is really good. That you like it or hate what you're seeing. Well, every couple of weeks we get something new.
Yeah, and for a while there was nothing. That is true.
But then we get like Wonder Woman for a little while. Then we get a Batmobile. Then we get Momoa. Then we get the trailer. Now we get that Batman picture. 2 weeks we're gonna get the Superman one.
Which, by the way, as far as like the Batman picture goes, it has been taken down on a lot of sites.
I don't care. It's pretty good.
I know. That's what I'm just saying. So enjoy it while you can, because it ain't going to be around very long.
Oh, at this point, it's on the internet.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like floating around out there.
What else is really cool about the Joker shot, just before we leave this, is that most people are talking about it in the Batman versus Superman context. when realistically nobody's talking about the fact that it's Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
That's true. Well, today there was the picture of Will Smith as Deadshot, and he looks like a gunslinger from the Far West.
He does.
And I was like, you know what? This is not what I was expecting, but that's not bad.
It's the Wild Wild West 2. You know what it is. It's Wild Wild West 2. No. They're going to have the giant mechanical spider.
Oh, God.
Which was awesome.
No. But let's talk about something that I think we can all agree is awesome, which is what a day. What a lovely, lovely day.
I'm so ready to see this fucking movie.
Oh, Mad Max is going to be the bomb.
Oh, man.
Wing's going to shit on it. 3, 2, and beep.
No, I love George Miller. I'm one of the one that liked Happy Feet 2. So,
wow, really?
Yeah.
You're in very rare company, dude.
Yeah, I thought that was really fun. I mean, I watched it with two little girls that are my nieces, so maybe that helped.
Okay.
But you know what? I think George Miller is a really accomplished director, and I will still be mad that we never got his Justice League movie. But I look at these trailers, and I'm like, oh, dear God, this is going to be so good.
It almost looks Zack Snyder-y in its pretty bringing. You know what I mean? Because there is so much pretty in these trailers. You're like, wow.
Yeah.
That's what George Miller brings, the pretty. And it's like, have you rewatched these movies in a while?
No, and I want to now.
It's fun.
I want to see Mad Max and I want to see Road Warrior really bad now.
It's fun because you watch Mad Max and you're like, okay, this is a student movie with a little bit more cash. And clearly didn't know what they were doing. And then you watch The Road Warrior and you're like, oh, this is what they would have done if they had a lot of cash in their first one. And it's kind of fun, but it's still misdirection. And
use some of the same actors from the first film.
Yeah, there you go. And then you watch Beyond the Thunderdome and you're like, oh, you didn't know what to do when you actually got cash.
Mm-hmm.
Now you look at this one and you're like, okay, now you're 70. You're 20, 30 years later. You have talent. You worked on a bunch of other things. And you have cash. Lots of it. And this looks exactly like if you took 30 years to make sure something would be perfect. Yeah. I am so, so excited about this movie that it can only let me down.
And they took like an extra 4 years to make the fucking thing.
Yes.
True.
And polish it. So it better be pretty damn good.
But the shot where they're playing like metal on a moving convoy while killing people. Yeah. I'm like, I need to see this in theater.
Lots of blowy uppy things, which is
what a lovely day.
What a lovely day. It looks, these are my women's. It's like, oh, dear God. I'm really, really excited. I can't wait to see this one. I just can't wait.
It's going to be a fun movie, regardless. Even if the script is crap or anything like that, I just, it's going to be a fun fucking movie. Really good article on Joss Whedon from Rolling Stone. Where he basically talks about, you know, the stuff that he went through with Avengers and blah, blah, blah.
Seems done with Marvel.
Yeah, because here's the thing. They asked him if they had, you know, if he was going to do Avengers Infinity War or the next Avengers movie, blah, blah, blah. And he said, you know, they did ask. They asked very, very nicely, which means they were offering him a shit ton of money. And he's like, but, you know, Kevin Feige, he wants to be involved in every aspect of the filmmaking. And when we're both on the same page, it's great. It's wonderful. But when we're not, it's a real problem for me.
Yeah, seems that there's been some friction. And since he knows that he's getting out, he doesn't mind telling how it actually is now. And he did in an article a couple of weeks ago, like, I made more money on Dr. Rubble than I did on the first Avenger. And you're like, wait, what? What?
Although you can kind of see that because Dr. Horrible was all him. Like,
yeah,
all of it.
Avengers.
But still, Avengers. Yeah, that's kind of like, okay.
So the
go ahead, Wing. Oh, okay. The Joss Whedon article that came out this week that I really liked was he was addressing the whole Coulson issue, and he came right out and said it. He's like, as far as I'm concerned, Coulson is dead. He died for a reason. That was a really important part of my movie. And I'm not changing that. What they do after I'm gone, you know, whatever they want to do is cool.
Mm-hmm. Which is weird when he written and directed the first episode of the TV show.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., yes. Yeah.
And you're like, I was about to say Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. again.
It's such a good name.
Yeah,
it's a really good name. It just rolls off the tongue, you know?
So it's weird when he says things like that. But it's like he wants Marvel to be like, okay, you're gone. We don't want you. And he went in another article somewhere saying like, yeah, I would totally do a DC movie, which I'm like, yes. Yes.
Nathan Fillion is Batman.
Oh, dude, don't
Nathan
even
Nathan Fillion is Green Lantern. Let's don't be honest. Even,
yeah, that's true.
He's Wonder Man.
He's going to spin around and everything. But the other thing that we mentioned, I think, in a different article, actually, and this was some time ago, where he had said that the original Ant-Man script by Edgar Rice was the best script he had read in a very long time and probably the best thing that Marvel could have possibly done.
Yeah.
And then they fired him. It's like, okay.
That's what I'm saying. It's like he's burning bridges with Marvel. Yeah. Like, I'm done with you guys. I give you... And look at him in the interview right now. This is a shadow of a man.
Yeah.
He needs a break. The man looks like he's exhausted.
And honestly, if he really wants to do something in about like a year or two, if Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is still on, he can probably go to Zach and Jed and stuff like that and say, hey, can I write or direct an episode? Sure, come on in, do it.
Agreed.
So, you know. Okay. We all love us some Death Note.
Yep.
Yep.
Because Death Note is the awesome. Awesome. There is talk now about doing a movie, and they may be going for a certain director of Adam Wingard.
It's going to be too short. It's going to be too short. You can't.
It's going to be too
short.
I agree.
You can't.
They made 3 movies in Japan, and they're not good.
I thought it was only 2.
No, they made a third one. They made a third this one. Week, this year or something. It's not good.
But you have to do it as either a series of movies or a TV series or something like that. You can't do it in a 2.5 hour shot.
Agreed.
It's like The Stand. You can't do it in a 2.5 hour shot. You can't. You lose too much.
Agreed. Agreed.
Just the story of Light alone. Just that one character.
Yeah, just that first, whatever, 2/3 of the first season.
Exactly. That is 2/3 of the first season. It's just him. You can't do that in a 2-hour movie.
Agreed. You know what? We're all going to go see it. We're all going to be curious about it.
Mm-hmm.
But, it depends how it looks. I might just rent it if it looks like shit, but I'll still rent it.
Liar.
Liar. Yeah, I'll see it. I'll see it. Even if the Shimigami looks like shit. Which it probably will.
Oh, it did in the fucking Japanese
movies. Oh, so bad.
Horrible.
So bad.
But I will go pay to see, which we have bitched and will bitch about, is Ghost in the Shell.
I will see this mainly because, and it didn't occur to me before, Disney is the studio.
Yes, exactly.
They're not going to fuck around with this.
No, it's going to be done at least serviceable. And isn't it Scarlett Johansson they're trying to for it?
Yeah.
So, okay. I guess if you want to whitewash it and you put her in it, I could deal with it. It'd be cool if they dye her hair black or whatever.
Be even cooler if they actually had a nation play it. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah, but no, but that's why I said if they want to whitewash it, I wouldn't mind seeing her float to the surface with titty.
Dear God.
I think he said serviceable titties for a minute.
I think he did.
Float to the surface with visible titties.
Yeah, I was close. I was very close. Another movie that I'm not sure how they will do it is Robotech.
Yeah, well, they have James Wan. I mean, James Wan is a certified action director.
Exactly.
And he's not Michael Bay.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the only saving grace to this.
Are you going to be able to do this story justice in 2 hours?
No.
That's the other issue I have. It has to be at least a trilogy. It has to be.
Well, start by making a good one.
Yeah.
Like, take the first four or five episodes of the original series and adapt this as a great movie. If you do, you have a franchise. And now you can start to expand. But do this Robotech thing as legs right now if you do it well? Yes. Don't do Transformers.
Don't do Transformers.
No, there's no Michael Bay. We're good.
No Michael Bay. Vin Diesel is apparently hunting witches.
This looks weird.
This looks fun.
Yeah, I think I'm down with this.
Yeah, I might have to catch this one.
Looks ridiculous. Looks kind of fun. Looks like it's going to make no sense.
See, but this is a renter. I don't know if I'd go. Well, I might go see it depending upon when it comes out and what comes out around it.
Yeah, that's true. But still, Vin Diesel is hunting witches and mumbling and stuff like that.
But so, you know what? I think Beef has the best point. Depends on what comes out around it.
Exactly. What comes out around it. What comes out around it.
Because if it came out next week or 2 weeks ago or a month from now,
if that comes
not.
Out that's between be the last Hunger Game and Star Wars, this is dead.
Yeah, it's not going anywhere.
But
it's
if it comes out, like, let's say in February of next week?
I meant even for me to see it.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah,
okay. In the theater, I should say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so. But you know something I'm never going to see in theater?
Oh, you're going to see it.
No,
that's
too.
We're going to review it just because you said that.
I haven't even seen the first one, but we're going to see this one.
It looks so bad.
It looks so good now.
It looks so goofy as hell.
No, it doesn't.
I will watch it just because of the goofy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dear God. You guys are whore.
Yeah, we're whores.
Ted 2, by the way, people. We're talking about the Ted 2 trailer.
Ted 2.
It's so stupid and wrong and fun.
Rewatch the first one and remember how bad it was. Just...
I did. I saw it recently. Oh, and the only issue that I have is Mila Kunis is not in this.
Well, that's always an issue in every movie where she's
that's
not
true.
In. But,
you know, that's true.
Yeah,
that's
every movie should have her or Olivia.
Olivia Wilde?
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you, Olivia Wilde. Thank you very much. Yes. Speaking of thank yous, one of the main reasons to see Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles
probably
is
the only reason.
Is to see Megan Fox channel her inner Britney Spears in Oops, I Did It Again because she's dressed as a schoolgirl and giga freaking D.
This is ridiculous.
I'm ready because you know what? She looks just different enough to not remind me that she's Megan Fox. And that is so fucking hot.
Have you guys seen the first Teenage Mutant?
Yeah, and it was stupid and fucking fun.
I agree with this.
Yep.
When they were in the elevator beatboxing and they all looked over at Mikey or whoever started it with that like condescending or that shitty look. And then all of a sudden they just started like and started like hammering on the, you know, the size and shit and tapping to make rhythm. It was great.
Yeah.
And then the ding, they ran out to fight.
Some things made no sense in this movie. The plot was non-existent, and
the Splinter created them or something.
Yeah,
I don't really remember.
Whatever. And the Snow Hill that gets you straight to New York. Yeah, okay, whatever. But you know what? I was watching Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle has always been about selling action figures. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they I was like, yeah, sure, that works. That's okay.
I want the brain in the next one.
Oh, Kang.
Yeah, I don't think they're going there in the next one, but they are bringing like Baxter Stockman and Casey Jones
and
more
Bebop and Rocksteady, I think.
Yeah, so you know what? Give me Krang in the third one. I'm okay, but keep going that way. Maybe put a little bit more story this time. Like, would be great.
How about more Megan Fox in a schoolgirl outfit? I'm more with that.
Yeah. More of that, yes.
Maybe some twirling.
Yeah.
Twirling is good.
Well, you know, in the first one, when she starts at the news thing and she's actually bouncing on the trampoline to do exercise, I mean, I call that good directing.
That's awesome. That's an awesome story.
Now, when you say the first one, Wing, you're talking the 1990 Turtles, right?
You know what? I rewatched that recently after a scene. And
wow.
You know, the first one is not that bad. When you get to Secret of the Ooze, you're like, oh, dear God. Okay, this is a train wreck. But the original one is surprisingly okay. We should review that again.
Okay, no, let's move on.
Tom Hardy is a little cray-cray. You see what I did there? Because he's playing both Cray brothers. It's funny.
Wow.
I see what you did there.
And they're both psychotic. See? It's what it
is. Yeah, Cray Legend. Cray, the movie's called Legend. And
it's called Cray Legend. Cray. And it's, it's got the whole tie in. It's awesome.
I don't get it.
But yeah, this is about the Cray brothers who are notorious mobsters in in London, killed a lot of people, shot a lot of people, stole a lot of money, and he is apparently playing both brothers.
Tom Hardy wants an Oscar.
Yeah, Tom Hardy wants an Oscar. But then again, out of this, I'm not seeing, like, you know, I think he can do the acting chops. I think he can pull it off, but I need to see more before I say, you know, what he's really going for here.
I'm going to agree with that, but it seems like damn fine acting.
Mm, could be. Could very well be.
Yeah.
And, oh, this would have been so terrible. On so many levels. There was an original concept for Batman Superman that was done, that was put together like back in, I think it was 2000, something like that. And this podcast group talks about the original script for Batman versus Superman. It is so unbelievably terrible that it's almost like a comedy how bad it is.
Well, they've been working on the concept since 1999, I think.
Yeah,
they were going to go with it when they in 2003, 2004. Then they were supposed to go with it again in 2006, and then they decided to drop it. But yeah, there's a reason why they never did it.
Yeah, it was terrible. It was terrible.
Talking about that, this week it's the premiere of Superman, the Death of Superman Live. The documentary?
Oh, yeah.
That looks really good. I know it's not coming on demand before June, but if you are in, I think if you're in the California, LA area, you can catch it in theater and stuff like that. So I would say
it's true.
Look at this documentary looks really good, and everybody that's seen it at this point are saying that it's something to see and it's really fun. So
it's one of those things where you watch it and you go into like the whole, you know, how movies are made and concepts are done and blah, blah, blah. And then at the same time, you're watching and you're like, oh, thank God this didn't happen. Because this would have just been...
like supposed Alien 3 with the wood planet or whatever.
Yeah. Good times.
Yeah.
In some non-news stuff, a video came out that combines some of the aspects of both the Force Awakens trailers and put in music from Top Gun, and it is some of the most awesome shit I have seen in quite a while.
It is pretty cool. I just actually finished watching it, and it is a lot of fun.
The Millennium Falcon flying to danger. That's just... Oh, my God. It's so cool. It's so geeky cool. It's so freaking geeky cool.
Any good reason to watch more Force Awakens stuff, I'm just saying.
True.
Because at this point, I'm just so
don't
excited.
Get yourself burned out.
Oh, I'm going to be let down by this movie like you wouldn't believe.
God, I hate you.
But at this point, I'm like, well, they might actually pull this off. Or I'm going to do the same thing I did to the other Star Wars people that were not good, and I'm still going to go see them over and over again because it's Star Wars, you know?
Our last non-news thing is a video that's done by the people who do How It Should Have Ended. And it's basically a... what fangirls, and I think a lot of fanboys, go through when they see a Marvel movie. And there is, like, you know, the stages of it. Like, the stage one is, like, you know, happiness, and then stage two is anticipation, how great it's going to be. And then stage three is like, wait a minute, this doesn't happen in the comics. They shouldn't be doing that. Hey, those two are related. They shouldn't be doing that in the comics. They did such and such. This makes no sense. And then the fourth one is like, oh, this is so good. Oh, my God, it's so good. And then by the fifth one, you're crying because it's so awesome.
Ishii is doing some great thing. I mean, they're some of my favorite cartoons because they have like the Batman, Superman in the cafe.
That is some of the funniest shit that they do.
Yeah, they are knocking it out of the park lately.
Because I'm Batman. I'm Batman.
I am Groot. I'm Batman.
This is going to be long. I'm Batman. I think you're having this conversation just to tell me that you're Batman. I think you might be up to something because I'm Batman.
It's so good. If you ever get a chance to catch it, if you haven't already, the How It Should Have Ended videos are awesome.
I'm Rich but Batman.
You are not Batman, dude.
I'm Batman.
No, you're really not. Still not.
I have a bat phone. It's awesome.
You are not yet. Whatever. Anyway, everybody. Neil, thank you very much for joining us. I'm sorry.
Hey, my pleasure. No. Anytime, guys.
He's not Batman because I'm Batman.
Oh, my God, Wing. Choke on your Batman pretendness.
I'm Batman.
You shouldn't have a tagline that's so predictable, Wing.
Exactly.
My tagline is Ben Affleck is Batman.
Oh, my God. Shut up.
You were not happy about it in the initial thing, but anyway. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We will see you next week. Peace out.
I'm Batman. Later.
Shut up!
We're not Batman,
Neil,
Jesus!
Neil, thanks again for joining us. Tell him to shut up with us. Shut up.
Yeah, shut up.
Thank you.
You're not Batman.
I'm Batman.
Not Batman, shut up.
I'm Batman.
Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to GunnaGeek.com, and you will find all of our contact information and other shows. You can also visit legendspodcast.com, where you will find our complete archive. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at incompetech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual host and do not represent Legend Stream Canada or Gunna Geek. No infringement is intended.